There you go. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Latha, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to the evening edition of Talking Smooth Jazz. This is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen in Las Vegas, along with Mike Reynolds in Baltimore. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing okay tonight, Terry. I'm sitting here watching Obama speak on the State of the Union, so that's about it.
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of that, too, so seems pretty good there. All right, let me welcome to the chat room Miss Anisha, the guest, 19725, and Miss Lori G. Welcome all to the chat room. If you would like to join us in the chat room, please go to blogtalkradio.com, scroll down to the right side of the page to the live chat with box, look for Talking Smooth Jazz, then click on the play chat button underneath the Schultz name. You can also call in and speak to Schultz, 716-5485, 646-716-5485. It's been the last time we talked to saxophonist Schultz. Why can I not see his name tonight? Schultz, excuse me, my apologies, was in August. We talked a little bit about his brand new CD, Going Underground, which had not been released yet. So it is now released. It is out there for purchase. And we are happy to have him back on the show to tell us about this new CD. So, Schultz, welcome back to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. With that lovely accent of yours, I love it. Let me reintroduce you to my co-host, Mike Reynolds.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Schultz?
I'm very well. Yourself?
I'm doing great tonight.
Splendid.
So congratulations on this new CD.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very pleased with it, actually, the way it turned out. I'm quite happy.
Now, not only does Schultz have a new CD, but this is his first independent release on his own label, Blanket Records. So congratulations on that as well.
Thank you.
So let's start with that, being your first independent release on your own record label, Blanket Records. And, you know, today I was thinking about when you left Down to the Bone, did you then decide that you were going to go on your own in terms of a record label being independent?
No, because when I left Down to the Bone, what was it, just over 2 years ago now, I was pretty much close to that was the release of Jigsaw Life, my last album, and I signed with New Groove Records, so that was pretty much around about the same time that I left Down to the Bone. So, but you know, the solo thing goes back to, I mean, I was running concurrent with the Down to the Bone stuff. I mean, my first solo release was in 2001, my first album, See What Happens. So, you know, and then, I was releasing solo albums at the same time as playing with Down to the Bone since 2001.
Okay. All right, well, tell us about Going Underground.
There's eight brand new original tracks on there. It's quite a bit more raw than my previous ones. I didn't want this one to be too overproduced, and you know, tried to keep it as close to like a live album as you know, lively, live played album as possible. I didn't, there was not too many double instruments on there and not too much tracking. And, you know, I really wanted to keep it so that it was going to be easy to recreate it when I play it live and just sort of do the stuff, you know, without having to use backing tracks and all that sort of thing. So, you know, I wanted to write stuff that was, but also sort of brought in the past, like my influences from the 70s, like Crusaders and things like that, and you know, and just keep it funky. But there's a little bit of Latin flavour in there and a little bit of sort of Earth, Wind and Fire flavour. But and then I did a cover of the 1975 Brecker Brothers song, Sneaking Up Behind You, which, you know, back in 1975 when I was, you know, a very young lad, I think I was, I was about 11 or 12, you know, that was a huge influence on me, that song. I was just, that really got me into the jazz, off the straight ahead jazz and into more of the fusion jazz funk, you know. So, and I just wanted to really just record it because it was just always one of my all-time favourites. And I had Ricky Peterson come and join me on that one on Hammond B3, and we just tore it up and we just had fun with it, you know. So the whole album, so, you know, it's all come together, and you know, there's lots of different things. We've stretched out that the tracks are quite long. I think that the shortest track is over 5 minutes. The longest one is probably nearly 9 minutes. So, you know, it's got a lot of variety, and there's some great playing on it.
Yes, now, two things. Now, did you plan on the tracks being so long when you first went into a studio trying to produce these tracks? And secondly, the title, Going Underground, what kind of significant meaning does it have for you? Was it just the title that you came up with, or was it something that has some meaning for you, Going Underground?
Well, in answer to part one, yes, I wanted the tracks to be, you know, to be long, because, I, you know, as I was saying, I was taking on my influences from, you know, the stuff that I grew up listening to, and I, you know, years ago when, you know, I was still, you know, when we were all sort of buying vinyl, you know, I remember, you know, buying vinyl, and that you might only have four tracks, there might be two tracks on each side, and that would, you know, that would be it, and some of the tracks could be, you know, 8, 9, 10 minutes long, and I remember just, you know, it was almost like being at the gig, because, you know, the tracks were, you had, just had much more to them, and, you know, I just found that I wasn't really having to try and go for writing, you know, that the radio-friendly single that had to be able to be edited down to 3 minutes, so I didn't want to, and of course, having my own label, I made my own decisions and didn't have people telling me what to do, so that was a conscious thing from the beginning that I wanted to do long tracks. And the name Going Underground, I mean, if you see, if you're familiar with the artwork of the album as well, now it sort of ties in a little bit with, you know, I wanted the album to be a little bit more, you know, like of an underground funk feel and a little bit under the radar of what the norm of the smooth jazz is doing. I wanted to sort of make a statement that my stuff is not, it's a little bit more underground than what's going on, and I tied it in with the London subway logo, which is the red circle with the blue writing through it. So I used that as the Shilts sort of logo, and then when you open up the inside, it looks like a subway map with all the tracks are like subway stations. So it just all tied it in quite nicely, and you know, I thought it was good. I just thought it was a good title, really. I mean, there's not really, you know, no secret behind it, but it, you know, I just wanted it to sort of give it that more sort of edgy, raw feeling.
And most of this CD was recorded live. That's not, you know, you don't find that happening much anymore.
It was recorded, I mean, it was recorded by live musicians. It wasn't recorded using samples or things like that, but I wanted it to have a live feel, and even though, you know, none of the musicians played together at the same time, I wanted to produce it where it felt as though we played together, and I actually feel that I carried that off quite well in the production, and you know, the vibe of the musicians is there, and you know, using such great, you know, such great sort of, you know, talented musicians, it's just easy to achieve that if you use the right people, and I think I sort of handpicked the right guys for the job, and and it turned out really, really well.
Okay, and who are the musicians working with you on this CD?
Well, my special guests were Rick Braun. He joined me on a track called Hip Bop, which is like a hip hop bebop sort of thing. It's got like a bebop head, and it's and Rick and I basically just take long solos on it, and we stretch out. So Rick joined me on that one. And then I had Mark Antoine and Brian Simpson joined me on a track called 5 o'clock in Rio, which is like a sort of Sergio Mendes meets the Black Eyed Peas sort of groove, like with a little bit of a Latin thing. And Mark did an incredible job. I mean, he recorded his guitar parts at home in Spain. And, you know, I just gave him a free run of the track. And what he sent me was just awesome. I mean, I threw it on the track and it was like, wow, that just sounds great. And Brian played some nice stuff on there. As I said before, I had Ricky Peterson, amazing Hammond B3, played on Stinking Up Behind You. And who else was on there? I'm trying to think. Oh, and Nick Colleone, great friend of mine, and just a wonderful chap. He played on a track called Lambeth Strut, which is like a nice R&B feel to it. And again, it just nailed it and delivered the goods. So that was like my special featured artist. And then with the studio guys, the bass playing was Giovanni Collier, and Nate Phillips, who are very good friends of mine, and they just brought the tools in and did the job. Randy Jacobs did the guitars on the album. Bill Steinway, who's collaborated with me on my last two CDs and actually was playing with Down to the Bone at the time when I left, on piano. And a new friend called John Guillotine, who co-wrote the single with me, which is called Seeing Things Clearly. I just had a great group of guys in there that just helped me out and did a fantastic job. And the only thing that I did, I programmed all the drums. It's all programmed. So I unfortunately didn't get to use a live drum on the album, but it's turned out really, really good.
Okay.
I'm a clever old boy.
I want to read a review from Jazz HQ that says, "Going underground, the 52 minutes of richly textured instrumental music that's leading the way for a new generation of musicians no longer tethered to the restrictive demands of major record labels." Yeah. All right, well, let's get to some music from this CD. I'm going to start, Schiltz, with... 5 o'clock in Rio. Tell me about this one.
Well, as I said, this song features Brian Simpson and Mark Antoine, and I just wanted to throw a little bit of a Latin-esque sort of flavour on the album, and keep it simple melody, and then just let the track flow through that. And it was one that I wrote quite quickly, and then just sort of like built the track up from the ground after I got the melody and the chords, and then just sort of invited the boys to play on it, and that was it really. It just needed mixing and throwing together, because the track sort of played itself from beginning to end, and it turned out really well.
All right, from saxophonist Schiltz, brand new CD, Going Underground. This is 5 o'clock in Rio. We are talking to saxophonist Schilt. He has a brand new CD called Going Underground. You just heard 5 o'clock in Rio. And Schilt, you mentioned earlier about your first solo CD, See What Happens, and I noticed on your website that that is now available for downloading.
Yeah, it's it was never before released as a download, so I acquired the license to that back at the end of last year, and so you know since I had the at my own label now, I thought, well, I'm going to re-release it and as a download, so it's now available for the first time on on iTunes and CD Baby and Amazon MP3. So that See What Happens, which was a good album, and got some great reviews. That's up for and it's I've kept the price of it down. It's cheap, so I encourage people to go and check it out, because it did get good reviews, that album.
So there you go, for all of you Schilt fans. If you've been looking for that CD, See What Happens, it is now available on his website, schiltsmusic.com. So check that out. And it's also on iTunes and CD Baby and Amazon, as well as Going Underground as well. So, I like the songs that you sent me. Now, two of them were long. Lambeth Strut is like over 6 minutes long, and
yep.
Hip Bop is over 6 minutes long.
Yep.
So I kind of shortened those songs a little bit just for time's sake.
That's okay. I actually noticed that 5 o'clock in Rio, that was the edited version as well. So that was much shorter than on the album. That's like in case it was going to be a single, that was like a single edit of that one. So there's much more of that track to hear if on the album.
Okay. Now, this next song that I want to play, I'm sorry, Mike, did you have a question?
Just I wanted to ask him, going back to the See What Happens CD, and just ask you, Schilt, how has your sound changed from your first solo CD until now?
I think production skills have come a long way. That first album was my very first solo effort, and it was written. It was basically from day one. It was written, produced, recorded, mixed in about 5 weeks. The whole album. We were under a friend of mine who co-produced and co-wrote with me, Mick Wilson, very good friend of mine back in London. It was basically, we were under just a time frame that the record company said, well, we'll sign you if you can deliver us an album in by such and such a date. And we were like, you're crazy, we have no material. So we literally went into the studio on the Monday morning after signing the record deal and just said, okay, we've got to write 11 tracks in 2 weeks and 3 weeks, get it all recorded. So there was a lot of just sort of throwing stuff down and saying, well, okay, that's going to have to do because we don't have the time to really do it. But again, it turned out well, and it was a learning process, and so subsequently, with the new stuff now, I mean, having my own studio, I can take as long as I want. I mean, this album particularly, took about, I spent about 8 months working on this one. So, it was just sort of a time thing that was just nice to have that extra sort of like time and not have people breathing down your neck saying, where's the record? Where's the record?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, as an indie artist for the first time, releasing this CD, I'm Going Underground, on your own record label, Blanket Records, how are you adjusting to that, becoming an independent artist? How are you adjusting to that?
I'm ending up in the poorhouse for a start. the kids are sick of eating rice and beans every night. And I have a kidney on eBay as we speak. So if anyone needs one, they
wow. Know.
No, but it is that. I mean, it is a case of now. Well, look, you join the big boys now. You're on your own, and you've got to try and, I don't have the budgets that the major record labels have, and so a lot of it is spent online promoting, and that's one of the things that we do have nowadays is you have the beauty of the internet is a fantastic tool for marketing, and a lot of it is free, but you know, obviously you still have to spend some money doing email blasts and web blasts and things like that. So you sell a few CDs, you make some money, but you really have to plow it straight back into the product again to keep promoting it, self-promoting thing. But I'm enjoying it. I have lots of ideas of stuff that I want to do, and I really am my own boss. So but you take all the risks as well. That's the other part of it. Whereas before, you can deliver an album to a record label, and if it doesn't go so good, then they end up with out of pocket. But that's part of the record business. But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying having the freedom, really.
Yes. Yeah. That's what it's all about, is that freedom, for sure. Okay. All right. Well, now I want to play Hip Bop. How did you come up with the name for this?
Well, it's like a sort of a hip hop bebop sort of track.
Okay.
So, how'd you come up with a name for anything, really? I didn't think, pancake syrup or anything like that would have been a good title. So it was it started off just as a working title, and then by the time the track was finished, I was like, well, it's as good as any, and from the beginning, I wrote this track with the duet with Rick in mind. It was something I started from scratch. I thought, well, it would be really nice to do a duet with Rick and show off his skills.
Okay. All right. Well, his new CD is called Going Underground. If you would like to speak to him, give us a call at 646-716-5485. And those in the chat room, the TSJ chatters, if you have questions, just put them in and I will get those to him. From the Going Underground CD, this is Hip Bop. Now, there is more to that song. It is originally 6 minutes and 39 seconds, so there's much more to that song. But who's playing the bass on that? Is that Randy?
No, that's me. That's I played it in on the keyboards.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I like that.
Using it's called a virtual instrument. So it's a real bass. It's a real bass, real acoustic bass sound, but it's like a sample, and you play it in. There's some amazing software and you know tools out there now for music production. It really is becoming quite incredible what you can do, and even you know it's achievable just on a laptop with a couple of speakers. You could make an album, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a good bass player.
Do you play any other instrument or no?
Sorry.
Do you play any other instrument or just sax, and you just have a little so-so on the keyboards, you know, everything?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of mouse clicks going on, you know, and a lot of editing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, I it's funny. I write all my material at the piano, and then build the track up as we go. And I mean, I think that's possibly one of the ways that I can keep my melodies simple and catchy is because my piano playing is so limited that I don't. I don't end up overdoing it, you know, and sort of, you know, because people say, oh, you write good hooks, you write good, you know, catchy tunes. So I think that's probably why, it's because my piano playing is so bad.
Now, Shultz, will you be doing any videos for this CD?
You know, the original idea was to make a video diary of making the album, but it was another thing that I just had to take on that, you know, and as time was moving on, I wanted to concentrate on just getting the album out, so it sort of got pushed to the side. But then I may go back and do some, you know, I was going to do some sort of remixes as well. I mean, that particular track there, I'm going to do another version of it with a rap artist on it as well. And redo that, and that could end up being, who knows, 15 minutes long then, you know. But it's just an idea I want to do to experiment, really, and that's the sort of thing. Then, you know, I'll when I remix the songs and do different stuff with it, I'm going to I've invested in a very very high quality high definition camera, HD
mm-hmm.
camera, so you know it'd be something that, you know, it, again, with my own label and in the future, you know, it'll be the stuff that I'll be able to do.
Right. And it's easy. I mean, it's really something that you could, I think all musicians should really take advantage of, is having some videos done and, you know, post them on YouTube and you stream and live stream. It's just another way to market yourself and your music.
Yeah.
And, you know, people can see you. You know, see you play. So I think it's a great idea. Like you said, it's free.
Yeah, it's free. I mean, the only expensive part about it is the time. Finding the time
mm-hmm.
to just really just knuckle down and say, right, this is the project I'm going to do. Because, you know, especially, you know, nowadays and, you know, and with the kid, you know, I've got the studio here, the studio's in the house, and I have to do it all before the kids come crashing through the door after school. So, you know. Because it all goes out the window, and you can't get nothing done, you know.
Nothing done. All right. Well, let's listen to another song. This is one of the other long songs. This song is originally 6 minutes and 29 seconds. Another one that I shortened. This is Lambeth Strut. Tell us about this one.
Well, this track was written. And in fact, this was one of the chaps that I forgot to mention when you asked me who was on the album. Yeah, sorry. By a gentleman, a great keyboard player from the East Coast called Jay Rowe.
Yeah.
So this track, I was working with Jay, and I said to him, you know, we should put a track together. So he sent me this chord sequence and a little bit of a groove and everything, and I listened to it and said to him, well, look, do you mind if I change it and chop it up and speed it up and do that. And he said, look, you know, do whatever you want with it. So I did, and you know, changed the groove of it and the way the chord progression went, and switched a few things around. And then I wanted to write, you know, just like a catchy hook tune. And then my good friend, you know, Nick Colleone, who I love to bits, he's just one of the nicest people I know. And I thought this would be a great one for he and I to jam on. So I called him up and said, look, you want to blow on this thing for me? And he said, yeah, of course. And he did so. And, you know, it's turned out really good. It's just got a nice... it's got like, you know, like a strut, and you know, there's a place in London called Lambeth, and you know, it was a place I was familiar with growing up as a kid around London, and there was a famous song called the Lambeth Walk, and so it's got that sort of like a, you know, a striding sort of strutting tempo to it. So I decided to call it the Lambeth Strut.
All right, here Clever. Is the Lambeth Strut. right, there you go. Lambeth Strut with Mr. Nick Corleone on guitar on that. That is from Schiltz New City Going Underground. You can find that on his website, schiltzmusic.com, Amazon, and CD Baby. Schiltz, I have a question for you from the chat room. Anisha would like to know, who were your musical influences growing up?
Well, I came from a household that used to listen to a lot of music. My parents were huge music fans, you know, especially in particular jazz. So from an early age, I was exposed to Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, Mel Torme, all these great jazz singers. And then as I grew up and I started to take saxophone as an instrument, and that's when I got into your John Coltranes and all that sort of thing, Miles Davis, Dexter Gordon. So that was like early years. I was into the sort of real straight ahead stuff. And then a friend of mine played me a Brecker Brothers album and a Dave Sanborn, and it just blew me away. I mean, I just was like, I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever heard. So that then drew me towards the sort of like the funk and the fusion. And then my sister Julie, who's like 2 years younger than me, so I came home from school one night, and she's in her bedroom and with some friends, and she's got her record player going, and she's playing this music, and I was like, what is this? It was fantastic. I go and knock on her door and I said, well, who are you listening to? And she's going, oh, this band called Earth, Wind and Fire. So that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out and I bought everything I could find. And then that's when I got into all the soul and R&B stuff, and I was buying the Commodores and the Meters, and I mean, that was it. So really, I mean, my whole sort of like background and influence is really, I mean, in the 70s, growing up in the 70s, it was sort of like the jazz and funk and soul. That was my stuff, you know. So and it just went on, you know. I mean, I was a huge fan of every, you know, I mean, Michael Jackson, Steely Dan, the Doobie Brothers. I mean my tastes go all over the place, really, you know. I mean, even some of the country rock stuff I like now. So, you know, I think your tastes in music just evolve. You know, they change as you get older as well. Your tastes change, but you know, my roots are with the sort of like the jazz and the funk and the soul.
Okay. Lori would like to know: would you like to go back to London to live?
Oh, why? Why is she? Why is she offering to lend me some money then? Because it's like bloody expensive. I don't know. I would probably have to say no to that. Although I miss London. You know, we have bouts of real homesickness, but it's for silly things like you just want to go up, walk up the road and have some fish and chips, or you know, go and buy a newspaper and sit in the park and then go and have a nice pint. A nice little country pub, but those things, you know, is what I miss. But you know, we've been here 7 years now in California, and you know, it's really become home. And you know, let's face it, you can't beat the weather. I mean, that's it. It's the deal maker, really. But you know, I'd love to visit. Like, I've only been home once in 7 years when I was on tour with Was Not Was, and. And I must be honest, like, while I was back, I was there for 7 days, and after about 2 days, I was like, okay, I've done London again, I've seen my friends, I want to get back to California. And even though, you know, I'm a London boy, and I'll always will be a London boy, but you know, this is home now. So I don't think I could afford to live in London anymore. It's probably one of the most expensive places on the planet.
Okay. All right. So you've been back once in 7 years, but you haven't. When you went back, you didn't perform. You were just visiting.
No, I was on tour with Was Not Was, and we went back to do a TV show and some gigs and that. And then they were there officially for like 3 or 4 days, and I sort of extended my stay, my ticket, and so I could go and see, you know, family and hang out in London for a couple of days and see my friends. And it rained, you know, it rained for 7 days, so I'd had enough. You know, I had a couple of pints. We had some fish and chips. We had a curry every night, and it was okay. Thanks very much. I'm going back to the sunshine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I love it. I mean, it's still one of the greatest cities in the world, you know.
Yes.
Now I have to ask you now, have you learned any new terminology over here, being over here now?
Well, only some very choice cuss words, but that's about it. No, it's funny, really. I mean, the strange thing is having your children have a different accent than you. That's been one of the, one of the funny things. I've been coming out here for, you know, 20 years. I think the very first time I ever came to the United States was in 1971. Went to New York on a family holiday with my parents. I've always sort of loved it. I loved America it's one of the greatest places on the planet. And there's so much opportunity here and so much, whatever you want to find in life, you can find it here pretty much. If you like the outdoors, you can have the outdoors. If you like the big city, you can have the city. It's got everything. So it's a great place. But no, I mean, I think with my accent, it's just it sounds funny when I come out with Americanisms. You know, it just doesn't go together quite as good. You know.
Okay, Lisa would like to know: is Neil from Down to the Bone on your new CD? Because she said she thinks that you guys play so well together.
He isn't, unfortunately. Unless he's going to buy it, then he is.
Okay.
No, he's Neil. I haven't seen. I mean, as I say, when I went back to London 2 years ago on the tour, I met up with Neil and we had a pint, and it was great to see him. And you know, well, obviously, you know, Lisa knows who he is, but you know, stupidly good pianist. He was just. We would play festivals, and you would have some of the greatest names in the business would stand at the side of the stage with their just jaws on the ground because of what this guy could do, and you know, he's great talent, and you know, but he's back in London, and he's I'm sure working very busily. I haven't been in touch with him for a while, but you know, and again that's another project that I would like to do is to work with the guys again from the original Down to the Bone band. I'd like to do some stuff with them, you know, outside of the Down to the Bone project, but the band that I formed originally, great friends of mine. I mean, I'd like to do a project with those guys at some point. So who knows? I mean, yeah, hopefully Neil and I will get to work together again.
That's good.
All right.
Now, with you being your own boss right now, is there anybody that you may want to work with in the future?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't really thought about it a great deal because I've been so sort of caught up with this first project and trying to get that together. But I think I'd like to do an album with lots of different singers. I mean, a very good friend of mine, Saida Garrett, who is just truly one of the most gifted songwriters on the planet. She's just incredible. I would love to get together with Saida and this is something, I mean, I haven't had a chance to speak to her about it yet, but, you know, I have an idea where we could write some songs together and either, you know, she could sing them or we could have guest vocalists in and sing these songs. And so that's a project I've got in mind that, I'd like to approach her with. But don't tell anyone.
All right, everybody in the chat room, you're sworn to secrecy. You cannot tell.
I'm telling you, it's on the radio, isn't it?
Yes.
Ricky Gervais. I'd like to work with Ricky Gervais.
I want to get in this last song before we let you go.
Okay.
Seeing Things Clearly. Tell me about this one.
Well, this is the current single, which has just been released. So this is the one that hopefully people will be hearing on their radios. And it was written by a chap that I've just started working with, called John Gillotin. He's a very, very talented man, keyboard player, and it has a sort of a little bit of an Earth, Wind & Fire style to it. It's got like a Latin funk thing, and I'm actually sort of attempting to do vocals on this one. I just sort of sing some backing ooh-ahs and that on the choruses, but it was one of the sort of more mellow things on the record, and then but it sort of builds. It starts off with a very sort of like acoustic unplugged sort of intro, and then it builds, and then to a sort of like crescendo in the middle where I get to get to blow on it, and then it comes back down again, and John blows, and then it's got this sort of nice ending, which will obviously you would hear it on the album version, but this is the edited single version. It's getting good. It's getting a few ads coming in for the radio stations, and I think a lot of people like it.
Good. Okay. This is Seeing Things Clearly from Schilt's new CD, Going Underground. Things Clearly. That is from Shilt's brand new CD, Going Underground. So, Shilt, you have a CD release party coming up on Friday?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to be at Spaghettini's in Seal Beach. And then Saturday, I'm going to be in the gardens at El Paseo in, I think it's like Palm Desert area.
Okay. Any chance of you coming to Las Vegas sometime this year?
Well, I would hope so. Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. But I have, you know, I've got some shows I've got coming up early next month as well. It's sort of like a little bit of a tour going together in the next couple of weeks. We're off to Reading, Pennsylvania on the 3rd of February. The 4th I'll be in Milford, Connecticut, and then the 5th I'll be in New York City at the Best Buy Theatre. And then a few weeks later I'm down in, I think the 11th is Fort Myers in Florida, and the 12th is Boca Raton in Florida. So I'm sort of, you know, travelling around a bit, so the chances are, hopefully, you know, and Vegas, it's only like a 3-hour drive for me, so yeah, it would be nice to get out there.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, I'll see you here. I'll check out your website, and hopefully I'll find the Las Vegas date on it sometime this year. Definitely we'll come and check you out. Yeah, all right. All right, well, Mike, do you have any more questions?
No, that's it for me.
Okay, well, Shilt, thank you again for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me back on again.
No, it's been our pleasure. And again, his new CD is called Going Underground. You can find that on his website, shiltsmusic.com. If you're going to be in the Spaghettini area, go check out the CD release party this Friday and buy the CD and get it signed.
Yeah.
Good thing. Good deal. Good deal.
Well, I'm going to buy one.
Congratulations again on the new CD, Going Underground. And again, I look forward to seeing you here in Las Vegas.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, you have a great evening.
Thanks very much. See you soon, guys.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, again, that was saxophonist Shilt. His new CD is called Going Underground. It is available on his website, shiltsmusic.com. His name is spelled S-H-I-L-T, as in Tom, S. Shiltsmusic.com is also on Amazon and CD Baby. All right, tomorrow night we are talking to the guitar duo Strums and Farah. They will be performing here in Las Vegas at Boulder Station on Saturday the 29th, and I have tickets to give away courtesy of Station Casinos. So if you're going to be in the Las Vegas area this coming weekend and you would like to see them, tune in tomorrow night for a pair of tickets. One pair of tickets are front row seats. So if you'd like to win those and see Strums and Farah, tune in tomorrow night for that. All right, Mike, we have a minute left. Do you have anything to add?
Nothing else to add. That's it. Nothing else.
All right. Well, thanks to those, to the TSJ Chatters, Anisha, Boney Fan Carol, guests, Jazzy Chick, Miss Lily Taylor, Lori, and Muse. Thank you all for hanging out with us this evening. We look forward to talking to you again tomorrow night. So I'm going to go ahead and close the show. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you again next time. Until then, keep it smooth.